Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Love Radio, Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church. This is your host, the Radio Shepherd, and I'm so glad you tuned in today on this Lord's Resurrection Day. Our Lord has risen, and there is ample evidence of the fact that He is risen. Father God, right now we just thank You, Lord. We thank You for the fact that You have saved us. You have redeemed us. And You did this because You sent Your only begotten Son into the world, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And we are so grateful, O God, we are so grateful that You loved us. You considered our frame. You knew that we were nothing but dust and ashes. And yet in Your great love wherewith You loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, You sent Jesus, Your Son, the only begotten, the monogenes of God, You sent Him to die, to be buried, to be raised from the dead, who has ascended and sits at Your right hand. Oh, blessed Savior, how we thank You today. For our Lord sits up in the heavens far above all principalities and power and might. And we just thank You, Lord, for seating us in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. All we can do is thank you. All we can do is praise you. All we can do is magnify your name. For had it not been for your great love, and it had it not been for Christ's sacrifice, and it had not been for the work of the Holy Spirit, we would still be in our sins today, alienated from you, and on our way to an eternity apart from God. Oh, but we praise you today. We praise you today. For by grace we are saved through faith, not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so we praise you, O Father. We say unto you, Abba, Father. We thank you for what you've done in raising your Son from the dead. Blessed be thy name, O Lord. Blessed be now and forevermore. Let the church say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Let the Lord's ministers say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Let the youth of the church say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Let the mothers and the fathers of the church say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Let our children say, blessed be the name of the Lord, and that his mercy endured forever. His mercy and his long suffering endured forever. Bless this service, Lord. Tabernacle with us now for this hour. Be in our midst. Minister life unto us. Encourage us. The same way you raised your Son from the dead. Raise us from our depression. Raise us up, O God. We're so discouraged in this hour of apostasy, when there are so many churches who have joined allegiance with the Prince of Darkness. Encourage us, Lord. We feel like Elijah tonight. We feel like your servant Elijah, as though all of our work is in vain. Jezebel and her false prophets are on the rise and they're multiplying. Baalic centers of worship are multiplying each and every day. It seems as though your church is being hijacked in record numbers. So be with us today, Lord, and encourage us, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. And the people of God say amen.
Oh.
Let us open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. This is the Apostle Paul telling us in detail the importance of Christ's resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 reads in the following manner. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas and of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greatest part remain unto this present day, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and at last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. May God add riches and blessings to his inspired word. And because he lives, and because he is our great high priest, and because he said to us, those whom the Father has given me shall no man pluck them out, we draw strength from those words. We draw strength from those doctrines. We draw strength from those truths. We draw strength from those biblical tenets. Because we know, that nothing, absolutely nothing, shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing present, nothing to come, shall separate us from God. Why? Because he loves us, and he secured that eternal love, and he cemented our relationship to him. And he forever secured our adoption by the death of his son. And more than the death of his son, the resurrection of his son. For now we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us pray for the many needs that we know exist in the church. The need for people to get saved. We have a great many loved ones who still don't know the Lord, who if the Lord was to come today, if the world was to end today, if the end of the age was to be today, they would enter into an eternity without Christ. So first and foremost, we want to pray for the salvation of lost men. Then we want to pray for the sick. There are a great many sick people, believers and non-believers. There are many non-believers who are on their deathbed, if you will. Let's pray that God would grant them a season of mercy, that he can ensure that someone would reach them with the word before they step over into eternity. So there are a great many sick, great many of God's people who are unemployed, who are financially struggling, a great many of God's people who haven't worked in a long time, can't find a job in this economy. There are a great many of God's people who are homeless, who are living, they're not out on the street, but they're living in someone else's home. And perhaps the situation now has become uncomfortable. We need to pray that God's children have their own place, their own abode, their own roof over their heads. Some of God's children are in need of a vehicle to get to and fro from work and doctor's appointments and school. A great many of God's children who have a great desire to go to college and get an education and better themselves, we need to pray for them. Great many of God's people who are praying for the church. The church today has become so Laodicean, so worldly, so focused on material goods and has forgotten scripture and forgotten prayer and forgotten to seek the Lord. The church today is like the church of Laodicea. Jesus is on the outside looking in. He's knocking on the door to see if the church will let him in. It's not even his church anymore. So let's pray for the church today that's become cold and lukewarm and apostate. And let's pray for the church that's been hijacked. Let's pray for lukewarm preachers and lukewarm pastors, pastors who are asleep on the job, pastors who've become hirelings, pastors who are in the ministry simply for a paycheck. Let's pray, let's pray, let's pray. Let's believe God for all of our petitions. Let's believe God for all of our many needs. They're all so critical. They're all so important. Healing is important. We need healed bodies. We need finances. We need vehicles. We need homes. Oh, and most of all, we need salvation. We need pastors to be pastors, deacons to be deacons, for God's people to love holiness, to promote holiness. We need for the prayer meeting in our churches to be reinstituted, reestablished, that the standard of prayer be first and foremost. Oh, we need a revival today. Let us pray. Let us go before the throne of grace. Let us seek our God in this sweet hour of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you. For in this hour, we have no one else we can come to. There's no one else but thee, O Lord. So thus we come, believing what our Savior said. He said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. And our Lord taught parables to this end, that men always ought to pray and not faint. Lord, we're seeking you right now in this dark hour, in this hour of economic woe, in this hour of hardship, in this hour in which many of your children are suffering, many are seeking direction, many are looking for a better tomorrow. Lord, we know that their life, our life, is in your hands. But we bring these petitions to you, Lord, knowing that if we come to you with our needs, oh, you're such a loving Father. For Peter said, cast, roll on him all your cares. Why? Because he careth for us. So, Father, we bring you our needs, knowing that you shall provide them. But more importantly, Lord, more important than our needs, We pray for the salvation of souls. There are so many who still abide in the region of darkness. There are so many who are still under the control of Satan. There are still so many blinded by the god of this world. So many who don't have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, who have yet to be washed in the precious blood of the Lamb, who have yet to be sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. There are so many who are lost in this hour, in outer darkness. Lord, we pray that you would save them one by one. Begin to save souls, Lord. Begin to save souls. Our Savior said, our Lord said, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. And that's what we're doing, Lord. We're praying to you. You're the Lord of the harvest. We're praying that you would send forth. And in the Greek, it's pempo. It's the word that speaks of to dispatch immediately. Lord, we're praying to you, the Lord of the harvest, that you may dispatch immediately workers into your harvest, that you may harvest souls, that you may have a great harvest of souls, that there would be a great revival in your church. We pray for lukewarm pastors. We pray for pastors who have become hirelings. We pray for pastors who have become wolves in sheep's clothing. Lord, we pray for a revival in your church. Stem the tide, Lord. Stem the tide of apostasy. Your word says that when the enemy would want to come in like a flood, it would be you, Lord. It would be your spirit. And your spirit alone that would have the power and the ability to raise up a standard against the enemy. Oh, we take comfort in that scripture that says when the enemy would want to come in like a flood, the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, send your spirit right now, Lord. Raise up new Samuels and new Elijahs and new Deborahs and new Miriams and new Moses is a new Joshua's. Raise up a new generation of uncompromising ministers that will take the place of Eli and his sons in this apostate hour in the church. We pray, we pray, we pray. And because we know that you live, we can face tomorrow. Bless us, O Lord, we pray. Bless us, O Lord, we pray. Minister life to us, O Lord, we pray. Minister life. Do what you do best, Lord. Do what you do best, Lord. Do what you do best, Lord. Do what you do best. Show yourself strong. Show yourself strong. Show yourself strong, Lord God. Show yourself strong. Show who is powerful. Show us, Lord.
Thank you.
Let us open up our Bibles to our text for this evening, which is the Gospel of John, John chapter 20, the Gospel of John chapter 20, beginning at verse number 19. John chapter 20, verse 19. The title of my message today is Christ our Lord is risen. Now what? Christ our Lord is risen. Now what? Our text reads John chapter 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jewish authorities. Then came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were his disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. And whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retained, they are retained. Father, we ask you to bless this word. We ask you that by means of the text, you would speak to us, that we would hear clear the voice of Jesus speaking to us. For our Lord said, My sheep know my voice, another they will not follow. Use this word to inspire us in this hour of dejection. Use this word to bolster our faith because we seem downcast. Use this text to give us a second wind. Use this text to resurrect dead things in us. Dead visions and dead ministry and dead callings. Use this text to launch us afresh. In your name we pray. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Speak to us, Lord. Speak, for your servants heareth. Amen, amen, and amen. It's the evening of the first day that Christ had risen from the dead. We know that very, very early that morning, he had been seen by Mary Magdalene, and she went running to the disciples and told them that the Lord had risen. We know that throughout that day, he also met Simon Peter. We know that throughout that day, he met two who were coming on the road to Emmaus. We know that Jesus met several of his disciples. He had these meetings with them, these interludes with them. But this is the first time that Jesus meets more than two of his disciples. And they were huddled in a house. They were huddled. The doors were shut. They were fearful of the Jewish authorities who were seeking answers as to where was the body of Jesus. The disciples were in fear of their lives. But in addition to that, prior to this fear coming upon them because the body of Jesus was not in the tomb, prior to that, they had been sorely depressed because their Savior had died. And they were not fully aware. They were not fully cognizant as to how everything would play out. He died. He was buried. Yes, he had told them that he would rise from the dead, but these things happen so fast. And it was so depressing. So here they are. First, they're extremely depressed because their Savior, their leader, their teacher, their master, their mentor was dead. And now they're fearful because the Jewish authorities are seeking to find out who took the body of Jesus. And the first group that they're going to corral and question are these disciples. So here we have this huddled group with the doors closed, fearful, fearing to go outside, fearing to be seen. And here comes Jesus, and he comes into the room. The doors are closed, yet he comes in through the room, right through the wall. Can't even begin to explain that. Here is Jesus in his resurrected body, and he appears. And he says unto them, "Peace be unto you." Now, I don't know about you, but I've gone through a whole week. It's called the Passion Week, in which we're focused and we're meditating, we're contemplating everything that our Lord went through. It's the time of the year when we can really sit back and really reflect and take stock of everything that Jesus suffered and why he suffered and why he was killed, why he was crucified, why he was buried, why he rose again on the third day, or as Paul says, according to the scriptures. It's a time of reflection, and it's a time of sadness. Not because we know that Jesus is in heaven. We know he's risen and has already ascended and has been seated at the right hand of the Father for over 2,000 years. We're not sad because he died. We're not sad because he's still in the grave. No, he's resurrected and ascended. But like in the days of the apostles, we are depressed. Why are we depressed? Because of the condition of the church. There are a great many brothers who are out to persecute us. The disciples had the Jewish authorities. The Jewish authorities were religious people. They too sought the Messiah. They too wanted the Messiah to come. They too claimed to love God. They too read the same scriptures. They too went to the temple and prayed. But they were apostate. They were trying to establish their own righteousness apart from the righteousness of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And so, if you notice, there's much in the apostles that we find in us. First of all, it was a small band. It's just a few disciples. Do you know that today's remnant is small? Can we go out? Can we really go out and preach the gospel boldly? No. The powers that be in the church will persecute us. We're huddled. We're like in catacombs, if you will, trying to keep the remnant church in a state of survival. We ask, "Where's the Lord? Where is our Savior in all this? Where is the head of the church? We've become an underground church. Think about it. The disciples, this small group was an underground church. The church started out as an underground church. Misunderstood, persecuted, reviled. That's how we feel. That's how the remnant community feels today. And we celebrate the Lord's, we celebrate his resurrection today. We celebrate the fact that he's risen from the dead. The hymns remind us of this glorious, historic, august event. And we rejoice in the resurrection, but yet we're still dejected. Why are we dejected? Because our numbers are so small. Our numbers are so small. And it seems as though God's church has been hijacked by foreign powers. You know that in Matthew 21, Jesus went in and he cleaned the temple. He purified the temple. He overturned the tables, right? We have already seen that in another sermon. And then after that, Jesus went to Jerusalem and he wept for Jerusalem. And he says, For how long did I try not to put you under my wings like a hen puts her chicks under her wings? Yet you refuse my covering, you refuse my protection. Thus your house, which used to be my house, which used to be my house of prayer, but you turned it into a den of thieves. Thus your house, which you've made into a den of thieves, it shall be left to you desolate. So God had already pronounced judgment on the apostate church of his day. But in the day that Jesus rose from the dead, that apostate church was in full power. And here are these disciples, disciples of the mighty Savior, the risen Savior, the Savior who has just conquered sin, death, and the grave. Here are these disciples who follow the Lord Jesus. They're huddled. They're underground. They're hiding. They're afraid. And please note what the Lord says to them. Peace be unto you. He says, don't fear. There'll be a better tomorrow. Don't fear. And then the Bible says, and he said it a second time. It says in verse 19, peace be unto you. And then in verse 21, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. Boy, they needed their hearts settled. And I tell you, with all that we're doing for Jesus, with all that we're doing for the Lord, there's a lot of opposition. There's a lot of pushback. We can sense, we can feel the forces of darkness coming against us. And it seems like the enemy is gaining more ground on us, and the satanic encroachment is real and growing. And yet Jesus comes to us, to just a few of us, his disciples, and he says, peace be unto you. And again, I say, peace be unto you. In other words, fear nothing. Fear nothing. But I say unto you this, you know what's going to happen after today. We just went through Holy Week, and a lot of people get religious during Holy Week. It seems as though people come out of the woodworks to go to church. People you've never seen before in church just show up for Holy Week. And a lot of people show up for Good Friday. They all want to hear the last seven words of Jesus on the cross. Everybody wants to go through the last seven words of Jesus. It's become tradition now to go to church and hear the last, and we've been hearing them for 40, 50 years, but we want to go back and we want another sermon on the last seven words of Jesus. Then on Easter Sunday, we want to participate in the 6 a.m. sunrise service. And we go through this routine, but it's like dead tradition. Year after year, year after year, we go through the same thing over and over. And then after today, guess what? Everybody goes back to their routine. And my question to you is, now that Jesus is risen from the dead, now what? Now what? Is Christ risen from the dead? Now what? Now what? What's going to happen? It's going to happen. Honestly, are we just going to go back? Are we just going to go back into our routine? Is that it? Now what? Christ our Lord is risen. We celebrated that today. And tomorrow what? And Tuesday what? And Wednesday what? And Thursday what? And Friday what? What's going to happen? Look what the Lord says to his disciples. He says to them, first, peace be unto you. Become, in other words, what he's saying is, become bold and fearless. Don't let nothing unsettle your mind. Don't let tomorrow, the prospects of tomorrow, don't let the prospects of tomorrow unsettle your heart and your mind. Peace be unto you. Christ is making a benediction. A benediction. Bene comes from the Latin good and diction speech. Christ is making good pronouncements over his people. And he said it twice. Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. You're covered by peace. And then he says, now that I've risen, now that I've risen, this is what. You want to know the answer to now what? He says, this is what. He says, in verse number 21, he says, as my Father sent me, even so send I you. So now what? Hear this. Tomorrow, get busy preaching the word. Me, Radio Shepherd? Yes, you. Are you one of his disciples? Yes. Then he says, as the Father sent me, so I send you. You see, why is it that the apostate church is winning the battle in this hour? Because there are many in the remnant church who just stay sitting down with their mouths closed and do nothing. But the Lord now says, if you want to rival the apostate church, if you want to win for me souls, then as the Father sent me, even so I send you. You want to stem the tide of apostasy? You want to end the encroachment of heresy in the church? You want to restore the church back to God? Then he says, get busy. He says, I've risen. He says, I've risen. And this is the first thing I want to tell you now that I'm risen from the dead. Here's my first instruction. Go. But you say to yourself, I'm not qualified. He says, go. You say, but I don't have a degree from a Bible college. He says, go. As the Father sent me, so send I you. Now, who can challenge your credentials if it's Christ who's sending you? Who can challenge your commission if it's Christ who's sending you? Do you hear the voice of Jesus in this hour through this sermon telling you, go? Look, folks, if this is all that we're going to be, if we're going to just be nominal Christians, Christians in name only, if we're going to sit back and just look at apostasy take over the church, and all we're going to do is have radio broadcast about it and just talk about it, and cry about it, and be depressed about it. Now the Lord says, you want to change things? Go. Because I changed things, Jesus said. The Father sent me, and I came, and I was able to change things. You want to be a change agent? You want things to change in the church? You want God to gain control back of the church? He says, go. The same way Moses went to Pharaoh in Egypt, so I send you, go. You see, someone's got to go. And that someone is you. Now, you can't worry about if I go. You are commanded to worry about if you go. You got to ensure that you go. Forget about if I go. You make sure that you go because Jesus said to you, go. He said to me, go. But stop watching and see who goes first. You go and do what the Master told you to do. Well, you know, the church didn't send me, the denomination didn't send me. Jesus says, Jesus is above the denomination. Jesus is above the bishop. Jesus is above, oh, well, that's heresy. No, it's not. Isn't Jesus the head of the church? Isn't Jesus the chief shepherd? Is he not, as the Greek says, the archipoimen? There's no greater shepherd than Jesus. He's the chief shepherd. Is he not the bishop of our souls? The bishop of our souls, the chief shepherd, the head of the church, the cornerstone, he says to you, go. And if others say, don't go, you go, because Jesus is greater than in authority than anyone who will tell you, you can't go. You go. The Lord said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And you'll be surprised, all the people that will start going now and will start saying, hey, we can gain the church back for the Lord if we would just go and open up our mouths. If we would do like the prophets of old did, they cried and they spare not. If we can just have a little bit of John the Baptist in us, if we can just preach repentance, if we can preach repentance for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, if we can go to our respective Jordan rivers and gain our and get our little assignment, Jesus says to us, go. Don't fall back into the routine tomorrow of falling asleep on the job and then waking up again next year during Holy Week. The Lord says to you, go. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And you can have peace about it, because twice in the text, Jesus said, peace be unto you. Don't let your mind be troubled. I'm the Prince of Peace. And as the Prince of Peace, I tell you, go. But they're going to talk about me. He says, go. But they're going to criticize me. He says, go. But they're going to question by what authority. He says, go. He says, go. And when Jesus says, go, you go. When Jesus said to Simon and Andrew, the two brothers, they were, Bible says, they were in the boat fishing. Jesus said, follow me. What did they do? They followed him. Then he went a little further down the beach and he saw James and John, and they were mending nets with Zebedee, their father. And he said to James and John, he said, follow me. What did they do? They followed. Then he saw Matthew, the tax collector. He said to Matthew, follow me. You see, every time Jesus gives an imperative command, if he says follow, you follow. The Bible says that James and John immediately dropped their nets and followed Jesus. When Jesus says follow, you follow. When he says go, you go. Now, are you going to break the cycle? Because the reason why we're depressed is because we go back into our cycles of redundancy. The Lord is risen. So what now? What now? We go through this whole exercise, Holy Week. Okay. He dies. He's on the cross. Okay, so that's Good Friday. And then we have Resurrection Sunday. And we have a whole build up the whole week. We have this whole build up. And now that he's risen, what happens after that? Nothing. We go back to our benches in the church, and we go back to warming benches. And he says, no, I'm appearing to you. He says, I just rose from the dead today. This is my first day risen from the dead. And here's my first message. Go. Go. But I'm not qualified. He says, go. And he said it to all his disciples. He said it to his disciples. And then what else did Jesus say after he said, go? The Bible says that he empowered them. You see? It's not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Look what Jesus says. What did Jesus say to them in verse 22? And when he had said this to them, he breathed on them and saith unto them, look what he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Who's giving you the power now? You thought a degree could give you power? You thought a bachelor's in theology would give you power? You thought a master's in divinity would give you power? You thought a doctorate in theology would give you a power? No. Not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Jesus did not give his disciples diplomas. He said, receive the Holy Ghost. Jesus, on that day, did not give his disciples certificates of completion. He said, receive the Holy Ghost. What we need in this hour is Holy Ghost-filled men and women. That's what we need in this hour. Now, when he says go, he doesn't send you like a weakling. He doesn't set you up for defeat. He doesn't set you up for failure. He doesn't set you up to be confounded. He says, go in the power of the Spirit. Go knowing that you will have what? Much success. Much success in doing the work of God. Much success. Much success in doing the work of the Lord. He says, go. The Lord says, go. The Lord says to you in this hour, go. The Lord says to you in this hour, believe. The Lord says in this hour, receive this word. The Lord says to you in this hour when laborers are needed, stem the tide of apostasy in the church, the Lord says, go. Stop making excuses. Go. And when you go, I'll breathe on you, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost will turn you into another person. There's things you're going to do by the power of His Holy Spirit. So notice, my brothers and sisters, He doesn't send us without the means to succeed. All we need is the Holy Ghost, and we'll succeed. The Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, and he slew He slew 1,000 Philistines. What? With a sword and a spear and a shield and a breastplate? No. With the jawbone of an ass. You see, a dried up, forgotten, decomposed jawbone of an ass was the tool that Samson had, was the weapon that Samson had when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. What made the difference? The Spirit of the Lord. You may be just like that jawbone. No one will ever pay you the time of day until there's a battle ensuing. And the Spirit of the Lord will use you to overtake the enemy. But you got to believe, you've just got to believe that Jesus, first of all, says, don't be afraid, peace be unto you. Don't be afraid, peace be unto you. Secondly, he says, go. Thirdly, he says, I will empower you. And then fourthly, he says, preach sin. Preach sin. It says in verse 23, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whoever sins ye retain, they are what? Retain. What is Jesus saying? Well, he's saying that the church is to go in the power of God to preach about the cancellation of sins or the retaining of sins. Well, when a man repents, when a man heeds the voice of John the Baptist, John the Baptist said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He says, turn around and turn to God. The Bible says that they came to him out of Judea and out other parts of the Holy Land. They came to John repenting. And those people who repented had their sins canceled. And those people who walked away, like the vipers who came to inspect John's baptism, those who walked away and didn't repent, they left with the sins on them. You see, those who accept the message that we preach will have their sins washed away. Those who reject the message that we preach will keep their sins and have others added to their account. See, this is a sin issue. The church, not only has the church obliterated and removed the word prayer and the word holiness, but here's another word that the church has whited out. It's the word sin. The church no longer preaches sin. And why did Christ come to the world? It says, without the shedding of blood, there is no what? Remission of sins. We have to keep preaching sins. Sin is to miss the mark. There's a whole theology of sin. It's called Harmar theology. There's a whole study of Scripture dedicated to the study, to the understanding, to the nature of sin and how it affects the human race and how it destroys the human race. And we have to preach. We have to go back to old school preaching. And old school preaching is the preaching of sins. And so we must continue. We must continue. We must continue to do God's work. And I will leave it there. And I pray that this word would bless you and encourage you and cause you to go and cause you to be at peace and cause you to trust God and cause you to be faithful to the Lord. Don't let another year pass and you just fall into the rut and forget about Jesus until the next Holy Week rolls around. Get busy for God now and make a difference. He says, go. And I hope and pray that tomorrow morning you'll start to go. Father, we thank you for this word. We ask you to bless this word. Father, we need change agents in your church. We need men and women who are going to believe Jesus. It was Jesus who said, go. Others will tell them, don't go. But I would encourage them to obey Jesus, for it is Jesus who's the head of the church. And I would encourage them to trust Jesus. Trust that Jesus will empower them. He will breathe on them. He will give them the Holy Ghost. I would encourage them to do exactly what Jesus told them to do, to preach about sin. For John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Don't preach a bloodless gospel. Don't preach a gospel that doesn't deal with sin. 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 It was for sin that Jesus Christ came to the world, to deal with sin, to deal with sinners, to save sinners, to save sinners, men who sit habitually. Bless your people, Lord. Give them no rest. Let this message stir their hearts, for the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. I've been praying, Lord, that you would send forth laborers into your harvest. Use this message. Now that Christ has risen, now what? The now what is, we have to go. We have to go, but we just can't go empty. We have to go in the power of the Spirit. And we just can't go in the power of the Spirit. We've got to have a message. And the message is sin. God wants to deal with your sin. Bless us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, don't forget tomorrow I'll have a word of encouragement for you. And please don't forget all of the other three broadcasts that we have, Daily Manna from Heaven, the Wolf Tracker Program, and don't forget the Bible Institute. Go to all of the sites here on Blog Talk Radio, see what we have to offer, get on the schedule, click on the follow button for each one of these four ministries. This way, every time we put a new update up, a new program, a new broadcast is scheduled, you'll get notification. You will be notified that we have something new coming the next day. So click on the follow button at Daily Manna from Heaven, the Institute, Love Remnant Tabernacle, and the Wolf Tracker Program. Let's listen to one more hymn. And until we meet again, may the Lord keep you and bless you. Amen.
From the dark door.